Welcome back to The Weekender on Y95.
Chatting now with Argyle MLA, Colton LeBlanc. And how are you looking? How are you feeling looking back on 2022?
Listen, it's been a very busy year. Our first full year in government, lots accomplished, and of course, more on the horizon that we're going to tackle. And it's at this time of the year, you know, looking forward to a little break, you know, a little bit of downtime with some family and friends. And, you know, listen, it's been a true privilege and honor to have the trust and confidence of the constituents of Argyle to represent them in Halifax, the legislature, and to be part of our government to advance our agenda and to do the good work on behalf of Nova Scotians.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, some of those accomplishments, and I guess we'll start with that. Are there any you want to highlight?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. We were elected on an agenda to fix healthcare, and you know, of course, there's still some challenges within that sector. But listen, we've done a lot. I'd argue that we've done more in the first 15 months of our mandate than in a previous mandate of another government. I've made the analogy that healthcare is like the chain of a bicycle, and we have so many links of that chain that need attention. So whether it be primary care, emergency health services, surgical wait times, emergency rooms, these all need attention as a system to help that chain and that wheel of that bicycle move. And I guess to bring it back to healthcare, to make the system flow better. So, you know, when we look at access to primary care, we're focusing our efforts on recruiting and retaining our physicians. We had a record number of physicians recruited, 163 last year. We need to do more, of course. So that's why we're looking and working with regulatory bodies such as the College of Physicians of how we can you know, improve, you know, the flow of physicians, the recruitment of physicians from even outside of our provincial borders, but even outside of our national borders. So focusing on immigration. And just this week, the province announced that over the next 3 years, there's a program with the college to recruit 140 doctors over the next 3 years. So that's very important. And I guess, you know, when it comes to healthcare, you know, where we are at today, we have to acknowledge that we're not going to get out of this situation overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take money. The premier's been very, very clear on that, right? And you know, I've said it before. We can't continue doing the same things that we've been doing for the last 30 years and expect a different result. So when we talk about access of care, you know, we've expanded virtual care in Nova Scotia, which has been, you know, a very good initiative, and then so many Nova Scotians that are waiting for primary care are accessing care through there. But another initiative that we've seen in our own region a couple of weeks ago is the mobile primary care clinic that was at Harbor South Medical Clinic.
Yeah, so that's been coming around this sort of area. It was there. It was over in, I think, Weymouth as well.
Yeah, it's been up in Digby and Weymouth, and it's making its way across the province. Listen, we have to implement innovative ideas, different ideas, and provide Nova Scotians with those different points of care. And I've heard very positive feedback. So we're just getting started on those types of initiatives. And this is certainly feedback that the Minister of Health and the President of this and CEO of the Nova Scotia Health Authority are hearing during their community conversations as they make their way across the province. They'll be in our neck of the woods early in the new year to take part in those community conversations, to hear from healthcare workers, to hear from Nova Scotians firsthand of how things are going, but also share with Nova Scotians the work of government, because there are a lot of initiatives that are underway, and it's going to take time to get them, you know, get the chain of that bicycle moving. But, you know, some of those initiatives, those are very positive things. And, you know, even as looking through the, you know, my past professional career as a paramedic, a number of things underway there that are very exciting, that are different. You know, in November, we were the first province in the country to have a paramedic, a nurse, and a doctor working in the 911 call center for EHS to triage through calls, to manage non-urgent calls, to support you know, different initiatives like the transport operators, thus decreasing the number of non-urgent transfers that paramedics were doing. In 2021, it was like above 85% of those non-urgent transfers were being done by paramedics. Now we're down into the 20 percentile with a target of 10%, allowing paramedics to do the emergency calls right. and not, you know, not spending their time on the non-urgent calls that somebody else can be doing. So a lot of things on the health file that are taking place. It's exciting to see, and there's more to come in the new year for sure.
For sure, and healthcare is definitely, you know, a thing on most people's minds, you know, going into, you know, any time of year, you know, it's just so important to be thinking about that. But let's also talk about some of the other local accomplishments. There were some big funding announcements, of course, for the Mariner Center and for the Congrès Mondial.
So, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. How are you feeling about those initiatives?
Yeah. So the Congrès Mondial is coming up very quickly. And, you know, in 2024, we're going to welcome, you know, 30,000 visitors to the Argyll and Clare regions, of course, and they'll be, you know, spending some time in the other parts of the Tri-Counties, and I expect in different parts of the province as well. So as a province, I was part of the provincial government. I was very excited to announce a provincial contribution of $2.5 million to support the success of the Congrès Mondial Acadien. This is a world-class event. With folks coming from, you know, every corner of the world, and coming to, you know, the birthplace of Acadie here. So it's going to be an opportunity to showcase our cultural pride, showcase our beautiful region. And there's going to be some, you know, tremendous economic impact on our region, and hopefully, you know, create a magnet for folks to come back in the future. You know, as far as the Mariner Center announcement, that was back in October, I believe. Time's flying by.
Oh, yeah.
I was really excited to announce on behalf of our government, you know, a provincial contribution of $4 million, part of the total of $30 million between the municipalities and the federal government. This is very important. You know, folks in southwestern Nova Scotia understand and appreciate the hub that the Mariner Center is for our region. And so to allow that hub to grow, to provide other services, you know, we're talking about the construction of a new pool, and how you can tie in our sports with, you know, sports tourism. And, you know, we've seen just this past weekend here with the Timber Cup. I'm happy, you know, that the Sharks, Parnaba Sharks, were victorious there. You know, we had folks coming from across our province, so that's spending money, hotel nights and money at restaurants, supporting our local industries here. So that's very important. So to see that project move forward, to be able to announce on behalf of our government that support and that we're committed to seeing that success, I was very proud to do so.
Yeah, it's important to mention, you know, just making the Mariner Center that hub, because of course we saw the seniors curling as well just this month. So
that's
there's
right.
There's a lot going on there, and a lot to look forward to. So let's look forward a little bit. So
yeah.
How are you feeling heading into 2023?
I'm very optimistic of what we have on the horizon. Listen, we live in a beautiful part of the world, and argue, you know, southwestern Nova Scotia. Probably, I'd say hands down. I know you're from Cape Breton. I'd say hands down.
Oh no, well,
beautiful part of the province.
Yeah. I have fallen in love with this part of the province. There's so much here. It's so beautiful. There's like so much to offer here. I love it here. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no. So it's again, I'm honored to represent the constituents of Argyll and part of our county. It's and you know, like to carry that their voice to Halifax, and to, you know, and I wouldn't be where I am without the support of you know, and the tremendous amount of work that my office does. Jeanette and Adele, they do you know, tremendous work to support the constituents while I work in Halifax. And so we're a great team. I'm really, really happy and proud of the work and the caliber of work that we're able to support the constituents. But you know, like I start going back to the top, we have a lot to do on the healthcare file. There's going to be some more efforts, and there's more initiatives underway there. And you know, looking at you know, the future of our region, you know, I reflect back on past initiatives or past, you know, events like the TMAC conference, right? The Tourism Marketing Media Association of Canada, and the draw that had, and the attention that shined on our region. So I'm hopeful and optimistic that we're going to have some of the spinoffs from the stories and of the influencers and the journalists that came down to our region to see that our tourism industry can continue to grow and prosper as we make our way out of this pandemic.
For sure, for sure. And I guess my last question would just be, do you have a message you want to share for people for the holiday season?
Yeah, I know. Listen, the holiday season is a time that, you know, for most people, it's a happy time. But understanding that for some, it's challenging for at times. So, you know, to everyone in the region, you know, to make sure that we're looking out for our neighbors and friends and family during this time of need, or during this time of the holiday season. But that hopefully that the light of Christmas can shine in our hearts and be, you know, a time that we can spend together with our family and friends and loved ones, and it be a time of happiness, joy, and peace for everyone. And so from my house to everyone, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and all the best in 2023.
Great. And is there anything else you want to mention, either about looking back on 2022 or ahead to the next year?
Just one more quick important initiative. You know, the cost of living is a real issue for Nova Scotians, and you know what we've seen in the last number of months and over the pandemic. You know, rising cost of fuel, rising cost of food. So as a government, we've recognized that. You know, we've put our stake in the ground very firmly that we take strong opposition to the Liberal carbon tax that the federal government's going to implement. That's not going to be of benefit for anybody in Nova Scotia. You know, we are a rural region that we have no other choice. We have to travel. We don't have subways. Although we have some public transit here, it doesn't reach out into the, you know, to the boondocks of our county. It doesn't make it to Quinnon, for example, or Kent.
Right.
So the fact is that Nova Scotians need to travel. So to have that additional burden at the pumps is not gonna be helpful. But right now, last week, our government actually announced an unprecedented initiative, $100 million to support the heating assistance rebate program. That's going to allow more Nova Scotians than ever to be eligible for the program. We've also increased the rebate amount from previously $200 to $1,000. So the threshold's now $85,000 for household income. So that program's going live in at the end of January 30th. So I encourage everybody to look online for some more information, or reach out to my office. We'll be more than happy to help them out. But you know, these are challenging times. But as a government, we're committed to delivering on sustainable solutions for Nova Scotians, and this is one.
We'll see how things go in the new year.
Thanks so much.
And the Weekender continues now with an interview with Yarmouth Municipal Warden John Cunningham.
So how's it feel looking back on 2022?
Well, there's been certainly a lot of great moments and achievements in 2022. One of the most exciting things that we're all very well aware of was the announcement of the Mariner Center expansion. $29.9 million expansion for this community is phenomenal. It is by far one of the largest announcements that's ever come to Southwest Nova, and it's certainly going to be exciting to see this project move forward and ultimately being built.
Yeah, for sure. That was definitely one of the biggest things that happened this year. Tell us more about what that means for the community.
For the community, it's going to provide a greater chance to be active, stay connected with one another, attract newcomers to the area, and support economic development in the area. It's just one, I was going to say small piece, but really it's a big piece of infrastructure that we really need, and it's certainly going to improve the situation around here with all those things that I just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Were there any other accomplishments you want to highlight?
Some of the other highlights would be the renaming of the Hebron Business Park. Council decided to name that the Nova West Regional Business Park. Our goal is to attract worldwide attention to the park from global buyers in the business park. It's already started, as we all know. FedEx has recently built a new facility in that area, and they're certainly an international company. And also, Dancor is going to be starting in the spring, building a new modular building to house startup businesses. It's something that our economic development officer had noted, and it's something that council's moved forward on. So there's lots of highlights. We've been constructing a sidewalk in Dayton on the Greenville Road and Port Maitland. So there's been a lot going on, and those are what I can think of as one of the top highlights of 2022 for sure.
So looking ahead to 2023, how are you feeling and what priorities does council have?
2023, moving forward, the top priority for council is to support the community by continuing to embrace our diversity and inclusion in tangible ways. Specifically, we're looking to launch our diversity, equity, and inclusion work to help guide municipal decisions for all-encompassing lens for everybody in the community. We're also making our buildings accessible to see the construction of Cape Pursue Alarm Lookoff Building, which is something that I didn't mention, to provide opportunity for people of all different types of abilities to experience the incredible views out there. Following any recommendations from our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, Council will likely look to modify our policies and ensure to align it to the new perspective that Council's taken on.
That's all great. And do you have a message you want to share heading into the holidays?
My message has been always look out for your neighbors, and it's the little things that you do for your neighbors, friends, and people in need that mean the most. Christmas isn't always about the big Christmas gift. It's the little things that we can do to help our communities and those who are unable to get out or don't have a lot of family or friends. Seniors in our community would certainly appreciate a visit, a knock on the door, or even a call. Make sure that we look out for one another, and please continue that on for the upcoming year of 2023.
And that's our program for today. Thanks for listening. For story suggestions or to submit feedback, email news.cjls@radioabl.ca or call our newsline at 902-749-1919. To listen to archived versions of our program, visit us online at cjls.com and click on The Weekender. The Weekender is a production of the Y95 Newsroom and is brought to you by Aris Yarmouth, your one-stop healthy home center.